Hanukkah and a Guten Chodesh to everybody. We're going to talk today briefly about Al Hanisim and some of the interesting things of note in the paragraph that we insert into our Shmona Esrei throughout the duration of Hanukkah. So the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Brachos that on Hanukkah and Purim, obviously we have an obligation to recite Al Hanisim both in Birchas Hamazon as well as in our davening, all three Shmona Esreis that we daven every day. We insert Al Hanisim. However, says the Rambam, if a person forgets to recite Al Hanisim and Birchas Hamazon, he says, Ein Ol Chozer, you don't have to go back and bench again. Contrast that with what we find on a regular Shabbos. If a person forgets to say Ritzei, or on Yom Tov, if a person forgets to say Yalav Yavo, we know that one has to go back and bench once again. But here on Chanukah and Purim, one does not have to. And the Lecha Mishnah there in his commentary on the Rambam says, I understand that by Birchas Hamazon you don't have to go back and recite Birchas Hamazon once again, because after all, Birchas Hamazon is not something that one is obligated to do on Chanukah. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say that we have an obligation to have a meal on the various days of Chanukah, whereas on Shabbos we do have an obligation. So on Shabbos, if you have an obligation to have a meal, if you forget Ritzei, you have to bench again. But on Chanukah, where you don't have an obligation to really sit down and have a meal and wash, therefore, one doesn't have to go back and repeat it. However, asked the Lecha Mishnah, how does the Rambam know that when one forgets Al Hanisim in Tefillah, how do you know you don't have to go back? We have a chiv to daven on Chanukah and Purim, and therefore he writes we should have an obligation if we don't recite Hazkaras Me'ein HaMa'orah, if we don't say what we are obligated to say on Chanukah and Purim, we should have to repeat the Shmona Esrei the same way we would have to repeat it if we forgot to daven the Shabbos Shmona Esrei or something of that nature, if we forgot the Alav Yavo. So he doesn't really understand. And he answers that since the whole fundamental of the obligation of Chanukah and Purim is only Midrabanan in the first place, as opposed to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, which are Midaraisa. Therefore, he writes, since they're only Midrabanan, we don't have to worry about the fact that we might forget it in the Tefillah. And if one forgets Al Hanisim in Davening, the rule would be the same as if one forgets it in Birchas Hamazon. Explains the Levush in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, that the understanding to that is that since this is only Midrabanan, since the whole obligation of Al Hanisim is only Midrabanan both in the Tefillah and in Birchas Hamazon, certainly it's only Midrabanan, therefore he writes, we have to be concerned about a bracha levatala. You always run the risk, if you weren't really obligated to recite Birchas Hamazon again, if you weren't really obligated to recite the Tefillah again, you might be violating an avera of a bracha levatala. And therefore writes the Levush, that is why the Rambam came to the conclusion that since Chanukah is only Midrabanan, therefore, he says, if a person forgets to recite Al Hanisim, not only in Birchas Hamazon, but also in Tefillah, one does not have an obligation to go back. Now, Al Hanisim itself is a very mysterious Tefillah. It's a very mysterious Bakasha, and it's very difficult to understand. We don't have enough time to go through it in great detail, but just a couple of points. Number one, it's something that is so glaringly obvious that everybody should see on their own. But number one, you look through Al Hanisim, and it does not say anywhere the story of the great miracle of the Shemen. We're not told about what happened, that the great miracle happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and they had the oil that lasted 8 days, and after all, this is the way we commemorate the miracle. We light candles every night to remind ourselves of the great miracle that took place so many thousands of years ago. So it's very strange and it's mysterious why throughout the Nusach of the Al Hanisim we do not find a mention of the great miracle of the Shemen, especially if you look in the original Gemara that informs us of what the whole holiday of Chanukah is all about. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that there was a time when we had a great miracle in the Beis HaMikdash and they didn't have oil, and the Gemara only tells us that part of the story and leaves out the whole story of the Melchama. And here all of a sudden when it comes to the Tefillah, we leave out the whole story of the Shemen and we only talk about the Melchama. So there's some major discrepancy here why it is that we find in the Gemara it's only described the story of the Shemen, and here in the Tefillah we only describe the Nes, the great miracle of the Melchama. That's very curious, and I don't really know the right answer for that. Some have given suggestions over the year. I'm not sure all of them are so wonderful or all really answer the question properly. I think it's just something to think about. As you say, Al Hanisim, why is it that we have this glaring omission from the way the Gemara records the story and we don't mention what should have been the most obvious mention? We do say, Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh. We say that both in the end of Al Hanisim as well as in the Bracha of Sha'as HaNisim that we say every day when we light the candle. So what exactly does it mean that we thank Hashem for the miracles by Yamim Mahem Bazman Hazeh? We're not experiencing the miracles today that we experienced back then. So what are we saying Bazman Hazeh? How does that fit in? So the Taz has in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Levush that whenever a person gives Hoda'ah, whenever a person thanks Hashem for something that happened in the past, you always have to make sure also to thank him for something that is going on bismano, something that's happening today. So let's say I had a great miracle that took place many years ago, a person was sick, or a person had some sort of yeshua, and they have a suda soda every year to thank Hashem for that great miracle. Writes the Taz in the name of the Levush, it's not sufficient just to thank Hashem for what happened years ago. At that opportunity that you're giving Shvach v'hodah, one also has to make time to thank Hashem and to highlight the miracles that are taking place in your life today, in your life in front of you right now. And therefore he says, this is why we say not only thank Hashem by Yamim Ahayim for the things that took place then, but also by Zman Hazeh, we have to make time over Hanukkah to think about the great blessings and the great miracles that we all are given in our lives today, not just thousands of years ago. In a way, it's easier to thank Hashem for things that happened years ago because we don't want to have to think about how grateful we need to be today for all the great blessings. But that's what we say in Modim every day. We thank Hashem every single day, and we need to recognize the fact that when it comes to a great experience like Hanukkah, we need to make time for both of those experiences, not just the one from many years ago, but also the ones of today as well. The Vilna Gaon writes, when he's talking about the story of Purim, so he has a very insightful comment, which is a beautiful one. And he says in the Megillah, in Megillah Esther, we say, Hayamim ha'ele, all of these incredible miracles that happened on Purim, nizkarim v'nasim mechol dar v'dar, mishpacho, mishpacha, every family has to take upon themselves to commemorate the great miracles of what happened on Purim and everything that we were saved from. V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. And the Pasuk ends off and says, this should never be forgotten. Every family always has to make sure to commemorate this incredible time of Purim. And writes the Vilna Gaon, Isav Mishnah. The Vilna Gaon says, well, that's the Pasuk, but then he says, if you add this together with what the Mishnah comments, Hakorei Samagila Lemafreya Lo Yatza. Says the Vilna Gaon, this is not a Hasidish Rebbe talking, this is the Vilna Gaon. And he says, the halacha is if someone reads the Megillah out of order, you read Perek Aleph after you read Perek Gimel, and you read Perek Dalet after Perek Ches, you don't do everything in order, says the Mishnah Lo Yatza, because it's a story. The Megillah is something that unfolded. And in order to appreciate the whole story, you have to read it in order. If you're going to start skipping around the chapters, you're not really going to have a full appreciation of the great miracle. So says the Mishnah, if you read it, limafreya lo yatza, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Says the Vilna Gaon, not only does it mean al pi halacha that you have not fulfilled your obligation if you read the prakim out of order, because you don't have the full story, but he writes, dahainu, it also means, shekori is hamagila, v'kavanaso shenase lanu neis mikvar. It means also that a person who's kori is hamagila l'mafreya, you say to yourself, I'm reading this amazing story that happened thousands of years ago, and you fail to recognize that the miracles are still happening today. And you fail to make time over the holiday of Purim when we commemorate all of the great things that happened so long ago l'mafreya, you leave it at just that. You don't also internalize and say, Bazman hazeh, it's happening today as well. The Vilna Gaon writes, Lo Yatza, you've missed really what the objective of Purim and Hanukkah is all about. The point is, V'zichram lo yasav mizaram, every generation subsequently, after the story of Purim, also has to make time to recognize the great things that take place in their own lives. And this cannot just be a story of Koreas HaMegillah L'mafreya. It cannot just be a story of something that happened so long ago that we don't have an appreciation for today as well. We go on in the Alanisim, and we find that we thank Hashem for the great miracles, Ve'al HaMulchamos. And this is a very famous question. Why do we thank Hashem for waging war? We would have been happier if we didn't have to go out to war. I'm sure there were lives that were lost. So why are we thanking Hashem for the fact that we went out to the Melchama? So the answer that is given, Rav Soloveitchik said, in the name of the Beis HaLevi. And the truth is, if you look in the Beis HaLevi in Parshas Beshalach, he really writes it on his own, and he explains the following. He says that whenever we have an opportunity to sing Shira, and there he's commenting on Az Yashir, where we gave Shvach V'Hodah for our salvation from Mitzrayim, he says we cannot only thank Hashem for the great salvation, for the great miracle that happened in the end, but we also have an obligation to thank Hashem for the Tzara as well, for the terrible time that we went through, which brought us to this Yeshua. So yes, you could have said to Hashem, we didn't need the Tzara, we didn't need the Yeshua, we could have done without the whole thing. But says the Beis HaLevi, it's clear from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that we have an obligation to sing Shira not only for the great salvation, the Yeshua itself, but we have an obligation to thank Hashem for all the Tzara that we went through as well, which is a hard concept for us to understand. How do you really internalize a thanksgiving for all the great tragedy that you went through? Even though there was a salvation in the end, we would have been happier not having either. But he proves from Chazal that this really is an obligation that we have, and therefore he says, here we thank Hashem not only for the great Yeshua and Al Anisim, Al Apurkan, and all the great things, but also we thank Hashem for the Melchama itself, for the tragedy and for the difficult part and for the challenge that we had at that time as well. The Soloveitchik suggested a little bit similar, but slightly different as well. And he said that there are two different obligations of singing Shira. He said sometimes you have an obligation, which is the most obvious one, that you have to sing Shira when you're going through something which is miraculous, something which is amazing. So you have a miracle takes place, you have to say Halo to Hashem for all your thanksgiving that you feel. However, he said, we also have a pasuk, V'ani b'chazdecha batachti yagel ibi b'yeshua secha. David HaMelech, before he has the Yeshua, is thanking Hashem for allowing him to have bitachon in him. And therefore, says of Soloveitchik, part of the great Shira that we owe the Ribono Shel Olam is that even when we go through very difficult times, and even when there are things that are extremely challenging for us in our lives, we always know that we can have bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam. And that in itself is a reason to sing Shira. That in itself is a reason to be happy, that yes, life is never going to be easy for anybody. And people are always going to have challenges, and people are always going to have things that are going to be difficult for them. However, we know as Jews that we always have that option of having bitachon ma'kadosh baruch hu. And therefore says David HaMelech, V'ani b'chazdecha batachti yagel ibi b'yeshua secha. I'm happy now. Before I have the Yeshua, I'm happy just in the fact that I can have an opportunity to have bitachon in you and to build my relationship with you. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, this is really what it means here when we thank Hashem al hamilchamas. Because throughout the period of time that we were involved and engaged in the war, we were able to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that in itself is a reason to be grateful, is a reason to be thankful to him. And then Rav Soloveitchik goes further and he explains, maybe this is why we have the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Do you say that we should light more candles every day, or should we perhaps start from 8 and go down in the number of candles every night? What is this machlokes all about? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing which aspect of Shira is more important, is more pronounced when it comes to the celebration of Hanukkah. Do we thank Hashem more for the bitachon, for the relationship that we have in Him? Or do we thank Hashem more for the Yeshua, for the great miracle that we experience? So he said, Beis Shammai perhaps is of the opinion that the greatest expression of thanksgiving that we owe the Ribono Shel Olam is for the bitachon we had in Him. And as the days of Hanukkah went on and we moved further and further away from the Melchama, our bitachon became less and less pronounced because we didn't have to have as much bitachon. After all, says Beis Shammai, we already trusted in Him and we saw what was happening. However, he says, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that no, the most pronounced form of Shira that we need to sing today is not just for the bitachon that we had, and not only the bitachon that we are supposed to have when we go through difficulties, but the most important form of halal is for the Yeshua itself. And therefore he says, Moshe v'holech, every day that miracle became greater and greater, more pronounced, more profound, and therefore he says the halal has to be more, and the candles have to be more, reflecting what we feel about the halal as well. We say at the end of Al HaNisim, V'ata b'rachamecha harabim, we say, you in your great kindness, you came and you took care of our enemies, amadat lehem eis taras, amrav tesrim, you fought for us, and you were the one who went to battle on behalf of the Jewish people, rabba miyad miyatim, it didn't really make sense, and it was clear to us, Hashem ish melchama, that you were the one who was waging the war. But then, at the very end, Rav Soloveitchik points out, we say, V'achar kein bo banecha l'dvir beisecha. After thanking Hashem for all the miracles that He did with regard to the war, that He was the one who stepped in and waged the war for us, we say, V'ata b'rachamecha rabim, we give thanks to you for having so much mercy on us. But then, V'achar kein bo banecha, we came into the Beis HaMikdash. Right, Rav Soloveitchik, something which is so important, and that is, when we have difficulties in our lives, we understand. As much as we do hishtadlus, as much as we put into something, it's always the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem ish melchama. He's the one who comes through. He's the one who's waging the war. He's the one who's going to perform the miracles. But never forget, V'achar kein bo banecha, the only way to add Kedusha into the world is not by waiting for the Ribono Shel Olam to do it. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. It's true. We put our trust in the Ribono Shel Olam and He's the one who's going to do it. But never forget, at the end of the paragraph, you need to say, V'achar kein bo banecha. That was us. Only the Jewish people are the ones who have the ability to be most of Kedusha into the world, and that is our task, that is our obligation, l'dvir beisecha ufinu asecha lecha, to clean out the Beis HaMikdash and to add sanctity into the world. That is something one cannot just put up his feet and say, I'll wait for the Ribono Shel Olam to do it. That's something, said Rav Soloveitchik, you have to do. V'achar kein bo banecha, we have to contribute our part, because that part the Ribono Shel Olam himself will not do. Let's just close with one final insight, and that is that in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they write that if you contrast the Al HaNisim that we say on Chanukah with that which we say on Purim, there are many similarities, but there are also many differences. And he writes, why is it that at the end of the paragraph on Chanukah we say, V'kavushmanis yimei Chanukah elu lehodosu lehalel l'shabeach, in the end we say that we have now, as a result of all the great miracles, we have now gone to a point where we have instituted in our calendar an 8-day celebration. Whereas, when you contrast that with what we say on Purim, we end off by saying, V'salu asov yezbanav ala eitz. We say that the end of the story by Purim was that we hung all of the enemies that were trying to destroy the Jewish people. Why don't we end off Hanukkah as well and say, and all the Yevanim got killed, and we won the war, and that was the end of them, the same way we end on Purim. Or why don't we end off the Purim story by saying, V'achar kein, and after it was all over, we went and we had a Yeshua, and we ended up building the Beis HaMikdash, and we ended up having a great time for the Jewish people, and we had a day which remained in the Jewish calendar forever as Purim. V'kav v'shmanis yimei Chanukah, elu v'kav yimei HaPurim. So suggests Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the answer is, what we want to highlight here is exactly what the enemy tried to destroy in the Jewish people is where the Yeshua was most pronounced. So on Purim, the enemy tried to destroy the Jewish people by hanging Haman, by killing the Hashman, the Harag, the Abed. So we end off the story by saying, Hafarta atzasam, you destroyed all of their iniquitous attempts, and we say, V'salu asov ezbanav ala eitz, and you got them back exactly the way they wanted to destroy us, you destroyed them. That's the punchline of the story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Mida Keneged Mida. And so too over here writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on Chanukah. What did the Yevanim try to do to us? L'hashkicham tarasecha. You know what? As a response, we're going to V'kavu Yimei Shmonos Yimei Chanukah Elu. We're going to have an 8-day celebration with so many intricate halachas and Shulchan Aruch. We're going to have more Torah to study. We're going to have more to celebrate. We're going to have more to think about and more halachas to be aware of. Life as a halachic Jew is going to become more complicated, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. That is the objective of the Chanukah story, because that is what they tried to destroy us with in this generation, in the Chanukah time, by saying L'hashgicham tarasecha. And our response is Kavushmanus Yimei Chanukah Elu, to perform more mitzvos and to show our appreciation for the Ribbono Shel Olam more, and to study more Torah and to master more Torah. And that is the greatest response, that is the greatest Yeshua, the greatest way we can ever get back and show our enemies that we are alive and operational, stronger than ever before. And that is why we find on Chanukah that the piyut ends in one way, and on Purim it ends in a very different way, because we want to highlight the difference between the two storylines and how much the Ribbono Shel Olam always pays back Mida Keneged Mida.